Good afternoon, and welcome to the 14th episode of Flavorsome's ongoing flavor science series, Meet Me in the Moment. I'm Phila Beckett, Senior Consumer Insights Manager here at Flavorsome. We're discussing how day part, morning, afternoon, evening, even late night, midnight snacks can affect the taste experience and nutritional expectations people seek out and expect. Flavors that are ideal for morning may not be what people are looking for in the evening. We can all probably imagine some of these day part flavors, and today we're going to be doing a deeper dive into this experience. Joining me today as we discuss day part flavors are Casey Rhodes, application scientist, and Pete Sauer, flavor development manager at Flavorsome. Casey, Pete, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Pete Sauer. I am a beverage application manager, which entails also making flavors for beverages. I have been doing this now for 27 years.
I'm Casey Rhodes. I've been an employee at Flavorsome for going on 11 years now. And I do a lot of applications work ranging from refreshing beverage to alcoholic beverages to ice cream and different types of candies and baked goods. So pretty much anything that has a flavor to it, I've done some application work with it.
Fantastic. Casey, Pete, thanks for joining. It's great to have so many years of experience here as we talk about day part. So when we say meeting flavor expectations throughout the day, what do we really mean? So flavor and nutritional expectations shift as the hands on the clock move throughout the day. This is nutritional requirements, functional needs, the desired experience in addition to that flavor. Flavor can cue some of these nutritional, functional, and desired experiential attributes. So flavor is pretty critical to setting that expectation throughout the day. So while, you know, like myself, I'm sure many people have enjoyed the breakfast for dinner at time, who doesn't like bacon and eggs, even at night, broader trends connecting day parts to flavors are seen across food and beverages. In some research that we've done, some primary research, we see that in the morning, people generally look for foods that provide energy and support health. By the afternoon, indulgence begins to rise, but energy remains important to get us through the day. And in the evening, indulgence is at its peak, but so are desires to unwind, relax, sort of put that day behind you as you're getting ready to go to bed. So this is how, as the hands on the clock change, this is where we see those shifting flavor and nutritional expectations change as well. One of the reasons we picked this as one of our 2025 flavor trends is that looking at launch data, so using Mintel Global New Product Database, identifying, you know, different changes at shelf, we notice that day part claims, whether it's, you know, morning, afternoon, evening, breakfast, lunch, dinner, have, you know, more than doubled in the past 5 years. In 2020, a little over 0.5% of products carried some sort of day part claim, morning, evening, afternoon, or a mealtime. Now we're at about 1.5%. So this is still a small segment of product launches, but it is a very rapidly growing one. As we can see from the compounded annual growth rate, those products with a day part claim, their CAGR is about 18.5%, whereas total food and beverage launches are down about a 2% CAGR in the same time frame. So as the number of product launches decreases slightly, the number of products with this day part claim are increasing pretty dramatically, although it is still from that small base, you know, about 1% over this 5 year time period. And what categories are really connecting with this day part claim? We see it's across the board. Bakery, this tends to go towards the morning and the evening for desserts. Hot beverages like coffee and tea. Snacks, so there's your afternoon grab and go, perfect for an afternoon snack. Even alcoholic beverages, probably not with a morning claim or a breakfast claim, but for an evening to relax or an afternoon summer picnic perhaps. So we see that these day part claims are really sort of present across all different types of food and beverages. So while today we're going to be sampling this in the form of a beverage, we see that this does apply to food. It applies to hot beverages, nutritional drinks, so meal replacement. So it really is sort of touching on all aspects, all categories of food and beverage. We have a few examples of how that shows up at shelf. So this bakery, Belvita Breakfast Biscuits, this is pretty iconic when it comes to that grab-and-go breakfast. This is a recent relaunch, new packaging, new name that came out in December of 24. But right on the front of pack, you see breakfast biscuits. On the back of pack, steady energy for the whole morning. And this is really resonating with consumers. 57% say it's a likely purchase. And this is significantly outperforming the category that this particular product rests in. We see this in snacks. This is a private label from Good & Gather or Target. Came out in October. On the back, on the side of it, a great grab-and-go breakfast or afternoon snack. So they're splitting the day part. They're saying this is good for multiple parts throughout the day. You don't need to pick just one to focus on. I mentioned alcohol earlier. This is Taylor Port, a very, you know, sort of traditional alcoholic beverage, fortified wine. And people know how to drink this or when to drink this, but they put it on there regardless. Delicious with dessert or evening sipping. So really sort of indicating this is an after dinner drink, really relax and unwind. And that's resonating. 53% say it's a likely purchase, again, significantly outperforming the wine category. And we see this in nutritional drinks as well. This is from the US in November of 2024. Power up your morning or beat your afternoon slump. And so this is tying that energy, that high protein, that satiety. And within this powdered nutritional drink category, 33% say they're likely to purchase this, again, significantly outperforming the powdered nutritional drink category. So before we dive into a little bit deeper into the day parts, we use this tool called Tastewise. It's a social listening platform that looks at the food and beverage landscape through the lens of online social discussion. So think Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, e-com platforms like Walmart, food delivery service platforms like DoorDash, Uber Eats, and they see how people are discussing different attributes of food and beverage in the context of, you know, whatever you're searching for. So when we punch in morning in the USA, this is across food and beverage, we see discussions around morning are up about 4% over the prior year. So over 1.2 million people are discussing this with about 2.5 million posts. So two posts per person talking about morning when it comes to food and beverage. And here's just an example from Pinterest. This is a buttermilk blueberry sort of crumble casserole. 4 million people on Pinterest saved this, indicating a strong desire for this morning type profile to make it home, whether they can't find it at the store or they want to make that by scratch cooking. When we look at afternoon, we see this has grown about 5% in the past year. About 500,000 people talking, again, about two posts per person. And here's another recipe example. This is a peanut butter cereal bite. So you're moving more into that afternoon indulgence with that peanut butter. You have the savoriness, the nuttiness, but it still has that sort of healthy bend because it's made with cereal. These appear to be Cheerios or something similar to Cheerios. So very healthy, not full of sugar cereal. And we see about 500,000 people saved this saying, ooh, I want to make that either for myself. I think this is geared more towards kids, one little project. So a healthier but indulgent snack for their kids in the afternoon. And when we look at evening, we see this has really taken off in the past year. About 17.5% growth in evening discussions when it comes to food and beverage. Over 500,000 people, again, 1 million posts with a good number of recipes. And there's this recipe from a Night Owl blog. So very much geared towards the evening. It's a crockpot pumpkin spice white hot chocolate with a little over 340,000 saves. So an evening, very simple product to make, probably more geared towards a holiday party, thinking about pumpkin spice and white hot chocolate, more towards the autumn and the winter. So this could be really geared towards a holiday party. Casey and Pete, has there been a recent example that you can think of where you've worked with a customer who was really sort of thinking with this lens of day part? I want to make an evening beverage or I want to make an afternoon snack.
Yes, I've definitely seen a trend in terms of especially more towards, I guess, the evening, kind of like mocktail kind of beverages.
That's a good point. Mocktails are really taking off And yeah, that's meant to replace, you know, obviously alcohol in a social setting that tends to be in the afternoon or the evening.
Yeah, I've also seen a lot of dessert inspired concepts too that normally maybe you wouldn't see, like dessert inspired water. for instance. Yeah, stuff like that.
So very much an indulgent type water. You know, is it that's bringing in bakery and dessert type flavors into that liquid?
Yeah, I have to agree with Casey. I have seen a lot of those too recently. A lot of requests along the lines of like a key lime pie or like a lemon meringue in terms of for a seltzer or a fortified seltzer.
Oh, that's interesting. That brings that citrus note, which is traditionally with a seltzer, but with that more evening dessert type spin to it. That's very interesting. Okay, so still thinking about taste-wise and some social listening, but also some proprietary research that we as Flavorsome conducted last year. We wanted to look at sort of what are the most important flavors, dishes, and experiential or nutritional aspects that people are looking for when it comes to morning, afternoon, and evening. So for the morning, this comes from our proprietary research. This research had a view on snacking in particular, but it does start to give ideas of what types of research can be done or inspiration for your own category if you're not in snacks in particular. But we asked people across the U.S., what do you want for morning snacks? So when it comes to morning snacks, half of people want energy and they want healthfulness. It's the, you know, said to be the most important meal of the day. Let's get up, let's get going, and let's have a healthier start to the day. We do see quite a bit, though, of indulgence. About 1 in 3 people want an indulgent morning snack. And that could be inspired from breakfast foods. That could be inspired from a better for you candy bar. So you have that healthfulness plus some of that indulgence. And we also see some portion control. So maybe some minis, you know, mini bars or something like that. And when it comes to what flavors are looking for, particularly from snacks in the morning, but again, this is research that can be replicated for any category. We tend to see that people are looking for profiles that have a health halo, berries, tree fruits. We do see those, you know, more traditional breakfast, so bakery inspired cheese. So think about a cheese Danish. We see that also doing quite well in the morning. And what we found in this research, it's not a chart here, but just get a voiceover. We find that people tend to prefer slightly more muted flavor intensity. So maybe a lighter flavor intensity in the morning compared to different date parts of the day. And that's just a preference. Obviously it's not a one size fits all, but people tend to prefer those more muted flavors. So maybe save the flavor bombs for the more indulgent afternoon and evening. But when it comes to flavors and dishes that are associated with morning in the social discussion, within foods, we see some pretty traditional sort of morning lemon bar, very citrus forward, lemon poppy seed really coming to the forefront as well. This is an emerging flavor. We see matcha, which traditionally you would think of a matcha tea, but we're seeing this pop up more and more in foods. We see cottage cheese, a very healthy way to start the day. And then a very sort of indulgent tiramisu, but that's strongly associated with coffee. So there is a natural sort of inclination to pull that towards breakfast as well. And then some of these mature flavors, you know, people talk about these very often, still some pretty strong growth. Peach, a nice healthy way to start the morning. Lemon blueberry, very classic flavor for a muffin or a crumble. Gingerbread with that spicy note, and then spicy honey with some of that heat. In beverages, we see lots of fungi. We see mushroom coffee, cordyceps, so those functional type beverages. Pistachio is really having a resurgence in food and beverage. Greek yogurt in beverages, so thinking about smoothies. We see that matcha, we see that date as well. Date's having a moment across all day parts right now. And then still some coffee, so profi or protein coffee, so healthier for you with that indulgence espresso. And then we see cherry, maple syrup, champagne, more on that brunch side of things, very steady, just a small decline over the past year. When we look at, how to push through the slump of the afternoon, what do people want in the afternoon? We see indulgence really, really ramps up, whereas about 1/3 wanted indulgence in the morning. By the time afternoon, 1 in 2 people want an indulgent treat, an indulgent snack. And we still see that energy you know, post-lunch slump, looking at the clock till 5 or 5:30. I just need something to get me through the day. So we really see energy still taking a forefront here. And we see that healthfulness drops down to about 1 in 3, and portion control is starting to go out the window as people are looking towards the clock to finish the day. What flavors are people looking for? We really see that flavor intensity ramps up, and we have that saltiness. So this really comes from potato chips, pretzels, anything with that salt. We see cheese ramp up as well. We see chocolate jump from, I think it was the 6th spot to the 3rd spot. So people are looking for that, you know, that nice indulgence when it comes to it. And so this is where you can start to ramp up that flavor intensity, and texture begins to play a more important role. We start to see things like crunchy show up in the discussion as well. So softer, a little bit softer in the morning, and then we start to move into the crunchy, the crispy in the afternoon. And dishes and flavors that are here, we start to see some more savory, you know, gumbo, tomato, basil, quiche, teriyaki sauce. Peach is still doing very well, growing quite a bit in the past year when it comes to foods. In beverages, we start to see some alcohol slip in here with some Chianti, Aperol Spritz. But we do see energy drink. So people are looking for that mid-afternoon energy bump. And how do you flavor that beyond just energy drink flavored? There's a world to work with there. And then when it comes to the evening, when people want to indulge, relax, and unwind, we split this up into after dinner and midnight snack. And we saw some interesting divergence here for some of these attributes. But we see indulgence is top of the list. 70% of people want an indulgent evening snack. When it comes to after dinner, portion control really drops off, but midnight snack, people are looking a little more for portion control. Just, you know, either get me to bed, or maybe it's a shift worker who midnight snack is sort of their lunch. Healthfulness is kind of done for the day. And energy, nobody wants energy after dinner unless it's a midnight snack. And that's where this leads us to believe this is more for shift workers looking for that energy late night. So that's a possible you know, marketing spin that could be taken with a beverage or a snack, you know, geared towards those third shift type workers. What flavors do people look for? Again, it's these decadent flavors, chocolate, cheesy, bakery, sweet. Indulgent has actually moved up to, you know, 30% of people just want an indulgent flavor, regardless of what it is, along with that saltiness. Spice levels do tone down a little bit, although flavors like jalapeno, spicy honey, chimichurri, and clove do show up in this list. So while people might not be looking for, you know, a buffalo wing after dinner, they do like some level of spice to feel some of that spicy sensation. All right. So Casey and Pete, just trying to think of different ways. So we see energy sort of pop up, you know, really more so in the morning and in the afternoon. But what are some, you know, examples to introduce energy, healthfulness, indulgence in different applications, you know, through the use of flavor, through the use of some functional ingredients, something that you've done recently?
Done a lot of work recently with a lot of the B vitamins, along with a natural source of caffeine, whether it's from coffee bean or green tea. Cleaner labels. I mean, that's what we've worked with a lot more recently is trying to clean those up and use more natural forms of energy producing items.
Okay, excellent. And that's replacing synthetic caffeine, and you can put that on the front of the label, you know, made with green coffee bean, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that introduces that healthfulness, but it also indicates energy. Very nice. Okay. Well, with that, we're going to move on to our tasting portion of the webinar. So if you do have the sample kit, make sure it's out. We're going to talk through with some pre-records how to mix them up. So make sure you have your water, your cups, and your syrups all ready to go. So with that, we're going to play this video and then we will get to discussing the first thing that we're going to taste.
Hi, my name is Casey Rhodes and I'm an application scientist here at Flavorsome. As we've mentioned, today we are exploring the idea of meeting flavor expectations throughout the day, morning, afternoon, and evening. If you were one of the first 25 people to register for the webinar, you should have received a sample box containing 3 beverage syrups, several tasting cups, and some stir sticks. Please also have still or sparkling water, or both, ready to mix into the samples. These samples were made as a mix-in syrup in a 1:2 ratio. This means that we will add 1 ounce of syrup and 2 ounces of water.
Casey, thank you for doing the pre-records on this.
No problem.
So the first demo we're going to be tasting today is for our morning, and this is our non-alcoholic blood orange mimosa. Looking at taste-wise, looking at social listening, we see that morning and champagne, that connection, that discussion has grown about 6% in the past year. When you add in the component of not just orange, but blood orange, that discussion, although it's from a small base, is up 460%. So people are discovering using blood orange as a component of their mimosa. And how many people are talking about this? It's about 9,000 people. There's some recipes, there's some dishes, there's some restaurants that are incorporating blood orange as well. So it's still pretty early days, but it's novel, it's niche, and it gives that extra spin on, you know, a very classic sort of brunch style flavor. And we see that again, this is from TasteWise. So sort of really looking at, you know, that blood orange, when we say morning mimosa, it's early days, but just looking at that blood orange as an ingredient, that's up 78%. So quite a bit going on, indicating that blood orange is an up and coming flavor profile with mimosas, whether they're alcoholic or non-alcoholic. So if you're an alcohol company looking for a brunch style beverage, this could be a way to go just with your alcoholic base. And we see that because this isn't really something that's out in the marketplace as a retail product, people are turning to online recipes to create this at home. Just 2 examples here from Pinterest. We have lemonade mimosas with blood orange. So there's inclusion of lemonade as well. 22,000 people have saved this, saying yes. It's an indicator that yes, I want to make this in the future. And then for this blood orange mimosa, about 15,000 people hit save on that. Again, sort of indicating right down the middle that people do want, this is something of interest. And this is how we came about using blood orange into this mimosa. So with that, we're going to get to go ahead and taste this.
We're going to start in the morning with our non-alcoholic blood orange mimosa, making a weekend brunch profile into a delicious everyday beverage. If you want to mimic a mimosa more closely, use sparkling water, but still water showcases the flavor profiles very well. You're going to want to take your sample, give it a good shake, and pour the entire content into your tasting cup. You're then going to take your water and fill the tasting cup up to just above the logo. And then grab your stir stick and give it a good stir. And it's ready to taste. When you give your sample a smell, you're going to notice a fresh blood orange forward aroma. And you're going to notice more of the champagne notes as you taste. When you give your sample a taste, you're going to notice those same fresh blood orange notes along with those subtle champagne pieces that really take you to a mimosa.
As everybody is mixing that up and tasting it, we're going to revisit some of this data and talk a little bit about the formula. And so, as I mentioned, you know, morning and champagne very closely linked with some growth. Putting that blood orange in there really ramps it up quite a bit with this sort of very prototypical recipe from Pinterest. And so, Casey, with this formula that you put together, can you just discuss some of the reasons why you put in some orange juice concentrate and chose the flavors that you did?
Yeah, so I have a little bit of orange juice in there just to more closely mimic a real mimosa, because this is essentially a mocktail. And then I'm basically backfilling with the blood orange flavor. And that's essentially it. It's a pretty simple formula.
Okay. And I noticed this doesn't have a color. You know, this one is pretty clear compared to the image of this blood orange on screen. But why did you go with sort of more of a water clear or champagne color than this really bright, vivid orange color?
Yeah, there's just a lot of uncertainty right now with the FDNCs. So I do like to showcase what a beverage would look like with no color. And I went with more of like a traditional natural champagne color with this one.
Okay, excellent. Pete, is there anything you wanted to add thinking about color or this particular formula?
No, I mean, you can definitely look at this and we can play with the natural colors to try achieve it through the natural colors. As we all know, that movement is definitely coming now to start to move away from the FD&C colors.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you. All right. So now that we've tasted morning, let's move on to the afternoon where we currently sit. And so we're looking at an afternoon refresher, not caffeinated, but something to sort of lift the spirits and get us through the afternoon. This is our raspberry ginger refresher. We see afternoon and raspberry discussions are up a little over 1%. Afternoon and ginger up about 3.5%. And when you marry those two, raspberry and ginger, with afternoon, those conversations are up 30% in the past year. This is very early days when we're looking at afternoon and raspberry and ginger. Very small number of people actually talking about this. But when we look at some of the components, ginger ale, ginger beer, so not necessarily just ginger, but a ginger beverage, in the context of the afternoon, they're up double digits. And raspberry, mature flavor, these don't move all that often. Ups and downs a little bit are just part of the noise. So that's very steady with raspberry in the afternoon. And just a few examples here. Both of these use ginger ale or ginger beer, and that's the source of the ginger flavor. We see the summertime sangria, a little over 1,100 saves. So this is an alcoholic, of course, but you could make it non-alcoholic as a retail product if you're not an alcohol company. And then we have this sparkling raspberry lemonade punch. So raspberry lemonade, that's sparkling. So sparkling water is very appropriate here. And this also uses ginger ale or ginger beer in the recipe.
Moving into the afternoon, we're focusing on a more energetic flavor profile with our raspberry ginger refresher. Like the blood orange mimosa, this one can be mixed with sparkling water to make a more ginger ale type beverage, but still water is perfect for highlighting the flavor profiles. Again, you're going to want to take your sample and give it a shake and pour it into your tasting cup. And fill to just above the logo with water. And give it a good stir. And you're ready to taste. As you give this sample a smell, you're going to notice a really nice, refreshing raspberry note, along with a more forward, spicy ginger. As you give the sample a taste, you'll notice the raspberry note is a little bit more sweet and the ginger note is more of a nuance, but it comes together well.
This combination of raspberry ginger for the afternoon, again, early days, but strong growth in the past year. And Casey, this formula looks pretty similar, but I do notice one thing is that this seems to be a combination flavor.
Yeah, so sometimes we'll have flavors that are already bulked together. So that's something that we can always do if there's a couple different pieces in a formula that we're showing to a customer. We can at least try, or most of the time, combine those into one flavor. And that's what this one is combined. This one is composed of.
Oh, excellent. And I see here it's a WOMF. Can you just explain for people who might not be deep in the flavor world like we are, what WOMF means?
It means with other natural flavors. So there's a ginger or a raspberry component in that flavor.
And then some pieces from other things to round it out.
Yes.
Excellent. Right. And I think I saw, correct me if I'm wrong, you're using sparkling water for this one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I use still, so I'll have to go back and add some club soda to this afterwards and see what the difference is like.
Yeah, it does. The carbonation does kind of help lift some of those notes a little bit higher, so you get them a little bit more forward and up into your face.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. Okay, and moving on into the evening, it's time to unwind with our date chai tea. And this is caffeine-free. I just wanted to call that out. Oftentimes, teas are a natural source of caffeine. This has no caffeine in it. But we have a litany of data here showing that tea, tai chi, chai tea, not tai chi, chai tea, date. These are all flavors that are really associated with the evening. And when you start putting them together, there's quite a bit of growth and discussion around evening tea, date, chai tea, date in the evening. 26,000 people are talking about some sort of combination of tea, date in the evening. And we see, again, that chai tea in the evening, a mature flavor in beverages, a little bit of a decline. That doesn't mean it's going out of favor necessarily or anything like that. There might just be nothing to react to. The example I always say is you can only talk about Oreos so many times before you stop talking about Oreos. But we see other types of chai, this carrot chai. Early days for that, up 13%. And date is a really trending flavor in evening beverages, up 23% in the past year. And just a few, again, examples from Pinterest and saving and indicating that people are looking for this. We have a dairy-free chai tea latte, about 7,600 saves. And then we have this rooibos latte, so a different tea. So if chai is not your preference, there are many other teas out there that we can work with nearly 700 saves for this rooibos tea. And these are associated with the evening. So with that, we're going to go ahead and have our last tasting. Oh, sorry. One thing that we have noticed, and we found this in our snacking webinar or snacking study, is that people like to build out rituals. So it might be a coffee in the morning or a particular snack in the afternoon or tea in the evening. And we have this little snippet here, which really sort of encapsulate this in the context of snacking.
I try not to snack more than once a day, and that's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay. And we usually have something to energize us because our energy is going down.
And so we see a lot of the indicators that we saw afternoon, it's a ritual every day, 3 o'clock for energy. And so something like this date chai tea or that afternoon ginger raspberry refresher could become part of somebody's ritual. And then you sort of have that person who goes back to the same thing every day. This is how I unwind. This is how I get through the afternoon. This is what I drink in the morning to help me get ready for the day. So building these rituals around food with flavors is pretty important and pretty vital. So with that, let's go ahead and taste this date chai tea for the evening.
We are ending the tasting in the evening with a flavor profile intended to relax and help you de-stress from a long day with our non-caffeinated date chai tea. For this one, we recommend using still water to mimic the tea drinking experience. If you have warm or hot water, this would be perfect to use to replicate a hot cup of tea, but cool water works as well. As you give this sample a smell, you'll notice the date and all the chai spices really coming forward. When you give this sample a taste, you'll get those same date and chai notes, plus a couple extra heat pieces coming through. This is a great taste profile that can help people enjoy a flavor associated with caffeine, but without the jitters or affecting sleep. Perfect to wind down at the end of a day. The demos we sampled today showcase how flavors can meet people's taste expectations as they change throughout the day. While you've experienced this through refreshing beverages, the day part process we discuss can extend to other categories, from functional beverages to bakery, dairy to sweets. If you are interested in any of these flavors and would like samples or have thoughts on how these flavors or the trends we explored would apply to your applications, please reach out to us. If your project is underway and you need support with applications or flavors, we can help.
All right. Thank you, Casey. And yeah, like I had said before, tea, chai tea, date, all really trending in the evening and really touching on, and with this being caffeine free in particular, really touching on that people don't want energy, you know, post-dinner typically, really looking to unwind. And so Casey, I see that this formula is pretty complex compared to the other two. Two of the flavors here really sort of stand out to me, and that's the black pepper and the chili pepper extract. Can you just quickly educate us on why you chose to include those in this formula?
Yeah. So with this being caffeine-free, we're not using any tea powders or extracts. That typically would bring in some extra mouthfeel or body to the overall concept. So by adding in some little nuancey heat pieces, It kind of helps build some complexity and build back some of that body and mouthfeel that you are lacking without having the tea or extract in there. It's not necessarily in there to be a spicy beverage as much as it is to add some nuance and complexity to the formula.
Again, trying to mimic an actual tea as much as possible.
Yes.
Perfect. And we're going to go into our Q&A portion. All right. Somebody had asked what CAGR means. That's compounded annual growth rate. So if you have, and this comes from the launch data, what that is if you have 5 years of data and it's on a nice curve, you're basically just straight lining the first year and the last year. So it's just sort of the growth each year to go from year one to year five. Happy to jump on a call and show you how that works. If you'd like, we have one here. Pete, this looks like this would be perfect for you. The date chai tea has a lot of flavors in it. You talked about combining flavors. Could all of these be combined into one formula?
Yes. And in this case, it can. And in most cases, we are able to combine or unitize to make manufacturing much easier, have a one flavor system. There are certain flavors where if we're doing an emulsion and then having to use an alcohol extract as a top note to it, that would have to be two separate flavors. But in this instance, that could become an all-in-one flavor.
Okay. It sounds like there's a lot of ability to combine these to make production as simplified as possible.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody wants that one, pour in one solution and there you go. So sounds like we can do our best to make that happen. We have another question. What flavors do people want at different parts of the day based on product category? We make dairy, and some of the profiles we tasted don't seem like they would be an ideal fit for a product. Yeah, I'll take this one on. Different categories do have different taste and flavor expectations throughout the day. As we showed on each of the demos, we have charts showing those snacking preferences throughout the day. So in the course of doing that research, we were able to identify sort of flavor families by category throughout the day, really on the snacking side of things. So yogurts, bars, nuts, things like that. We do have that data. And we turn these into heat maps. They're pretty informative. They're pretty intuitive that sort of show, depending on your category, what flavor family should you look towards? So should it be tropical? Should it be savory? Should it be sweet? Should it be tree fruits? And this can be looked at in two different ways. In the afternoon, you know, what flavors are people expecting from which category? Or if you're a category manager in charge of a single category, if we want to have lines for morning, afternoon, evening, what flavors should you gear towards? If that's of interest, please reach out. We're happy to talk through that. We have it for snacking, and it can always be thought about to, you know, how does that translate to other categories? We have one here. I do not like to use sodium benzoate and managed to avoid it for the past 15 years in my blends. Why was it used in these demos? Casey, Pete, this, I'm going to, as the application people, I'm going to rely on you for this one.
Safety. I mean, it does not need to be there. And when you're doing a finished beverage, if the finished beverage is done correctly, but for sending safety samples out to customers, it's for safety. It's just to preserve. Only enough to preserve so that we're not going to have any spoilage from the point that it's made in the lab to the point that you're consuming it today.
Okay. So these formulas aren't necessarily finalized formulas. They're demonstration formulas. And when Correct. You have proper pasteurization tunnel or otherwise, or whatever the sanitizing procedure is, you can avoid that.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Casey, I think we talked a bit about color, so I think you'll be perfect for this one. What are some of the challenges when considering color, considering the current landscape and changes?
Some of the biggest challenges are what application we're talking about. A lot of the natural color solutions are very application driven. So when you're removing the FD&Cs, which are extremely stable and versatile amongst all applications, and you're replacing with natural solutions, most natural solutions, especially anthocyanins, are really susceptible to pH changes and time and temperature. So really, depending on the application and your specific processing, there's a solution out there for you, but it's not as simple as just plugging in an FD&C like we've been used to. So it's just going to take a little bit more bench work to find your color solution. And with that, there comes other hurdles as far as like higher usage rates and some different off notes that you get with that usage rate being much higher, and then cost increases, and then lots of stuff. So there's a lot of challenges, and there's a solution to it, but it just takes longer.
Okay. It sounds like there's a lot of puzzle pieces, and it's just putting it together. And it's just a change to how it's being done. But if you have those challenges, please reach out to us. We're happy to do what we can, or bring in some, you know, formulators, or put you in touch with some people who can really help. I think we have time for one more here. And this is, again, a technical question. So for Casey and Pete, how long is the clarified juice concentrate from the blood orange mimosa shelf stable? So you use that orange juice concentrate.
Well, and the level that's there, that would be shelf stable for quite some time. I mean, if I remember correctly, was that like 0.5 grams in 100?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would be stable for most people we have dealt with would like to have a year shelf life on a beverage. And in most cases you can, and something that level of orange would be shelf stable for a year.
Okay. Excellent. But with that, I do want to say thank you to everybody who attended, with a big thanks to Casey and Pete for participating and helping to answer these questions and putting together the samples. And please keep an eye out in the coming months for an invitation to our fourth webinar this autumn, when we discuss how telling a story with food and beverage can connect your brand with people. And so just a little bit of a preview, this is talking about things like regional roots, localized ingredients, specific flavors, or other unique tales around your food or beverage to really create that strong bond with the people who are purchasing it. So with that, I want to give one more big round of thanks to everybody, Casey and Pete, who participated. And thank you very much to the audience for joining today and having fantastic questions. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thanks for watching this episode of Flavor Science from Flavorsome. Whether you want to formulate with a tried and true flavor or innovate with a brand new creation, having a great flavor partner accelerates your success. At Flavorsome, we combine expertise, responsiveness, and infrastructure to deliver an all-in-one solution that helps growing food and beverage companies improve their speed to market. Part of our mission is making flavor sourcing more efficient, effective, and enjoyable with best-in-class responsiveness, competitive lead times, and products designed to meet your goals. Work with us to create the delicious new products your customers are craving.